Blog Talk Radio.
I hear my excitement. I recognize its cadence, how it feels like quickened breaths dancing across ivory keys. And as closed off as I may seem, that isn't really me. I'm almost free enough to tumble forward a little too carelessly. I just hear my missteps, sounding like an occasional B-flat, and I'm at odds with the elephant in the room. You have my attention, but I've questioned the soundness of my decision. I feel myself falter, knowing that we need to talk about this and actually address it. I'm hesitant. My excitement is notably checked, and the pounding I now feel in my chest is fear, a recurrence that I once again somehow will this if I resist the peace I find in silence. Will you hear me? We listen, and the blending of our voices and conversation still has my heart racing, but this is just different. This is different. I hear my excitement. I recognize that I actually get to dance across those white keys in whatever the state is of my being. Acceptance doesn't insist on silencing hesitance nor dampening another's power. It doesn't highlight mistakes. Instead, we chose a composition that highlighted us. We just needed to address the elephant in the room. Essentially, Shani.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have Janice kick off the room with Elephant in the Room. The next selection that you'll be hearing is from For Real the Poet, Temptation.
Tonight's breath taken with so much delight. To dream of you is not enough. I yearn to see you every morning when I open up my eyes. To spend the rest of my life with you in sight. May I, may I sing songs of love to you transposed from poems you've inspired to write. Break this pen, fill it with gold, make the tip silver with the purest of ink I deliver. Sky writings in the clouds, spoken words of love to you. Release thousands of beautiful butterflies, every colorful species of. Romantically set free from the heavens, dozens of champagne-flavored white doves. In your eyes I peer in deep. Visions, hopes, dreams of, emotions wash over like some exotic ocean, the sounds of seagulls and golden pigeons, take me away to far off pavilions, as ears well in tuned with love listens, listens as love sings, words of elegance and magical things, strings. Those to my heart are pulled, led by your touch, you gently touch me. I'm touched and it's tickling, stone me, bumblebee, I'm stone, love sick, don't heal me. Put it in a bottle and pass some out to everyone. An epidemic, let it spread in a field of roses, pink, purple, burgundy and red. I'd lie you down and take you to bed. Kiss your precious lips softly as I tell you goodnight. tonight's breath I take with so much delight. To dream of you is not enough. Can I see you every morning when I open up my eyes? To dream of you, I yearn to see you every morning when I open my eyes. To spend the rest of my life with you in sight, may I sing songs of love to you, transposed from poems you've inspired to write. Break this pen, fill it with gold, make the silver tip with the purest ink, I deliver it. Sky writings in the clouds, spoken words of love out loud to you, releasing thousands of beautiful butterflies, every colorful species of, romantically set free from the heavens, dozens of champagne-flavored white doves. In your eyes, I peer in deep, visions, hopes, dreams, love.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Insomnia, My Pet Insomnia by Jess J.
Last night I went to the moon, seeking a sleep therapist for my pet Insomnia. When I took to the vet, the doctor asked me, was his nose wet, or if it was a dog or a cat, even though right there it sat. So I understandably got upset. I said, Doc, when it started bothering me in the daytime, I knew things between us was not fine. Why is this nocturnal beast basking in my sunshine? And those are just the facts, to be exact, Dr. Jack. Yours is a very interesting case to me. So tell me, what would you do to cope? Well, at first I tried to pay it no mind, because he left me alone during night's most quiet times. But at my job, he'd come back. And what would you do? I tried to find things that would distract. I do this, and I do that. Last encounter ended in a scrap. I was too tired to fight, so I took a little nap and dreamed a dreamless dream while I floated on a raft on my back. And when I awoke, I felt beyond great. No gorilla, no ape. The house was quiet and all mine, and not a trace of insomnia could I find. The clock read 2:59. 3 hours and 1 minute before the start of my grind. So I took in some YouTube to kill some time, and before a long time, my eyes went from slits to little lines as I traveled in my mind. And moments later, my alarm clock crowed. It's time to rise and shine. Only one thing. I'm beat. Poem.
Ladies and gentlemen, this next selection will be by Love Savvy.
Let's play with this a little bit. Let's see how we can make this a little fun. Let's go. Agape, a poem. Yeah. Ooh, I like that. Permissible love comes without permission, an invasion of sunlight and darkened spaces, an antiquated image of jovial faces up against the plushy groove of grown gazes. The slush of Chicano's icy melting into mud as we rush with stubby legs into hydrants that rub like gauges gush. I'm a child again, filling the facades like cascading moon, spilling into landscapes, making midnight royal blue. Blooming in bushels, blossoming into bosoms that grew with age. Wow. Tasting the memoirs of sages as our thickly thighs get caught in the web of robust swagger and refined jawline. Setting up ginning and juicing as we start the pan in our pubescent essence. Bashful responses, the girded cheeks with dented expressions of her meekness. Kindred kisses kindled by a sweet air.
that to his grandeur and mannerism, the taste of manna, warm breath in the color of cream, the clouds and heaven's flowing streams of rain. The rain we sought for, thunder would strike, and we saw more. Dipping between the steam and bubbling with humet and hessup when we would feather into kissing doves. I could hear you like a blaring trumpet in between my seconds of transition and dream. You awaken my skin with memories of imagination, just the thought of hands combing the definitive lines and curves of palms leave my troubles afar. Even share telepathic stares. The frequency of laughter, shofar stars and sunsets, we are. And dwelling in agape, yeah. We are touching its womb, we are cradling its milk on our lips. We are dancing in a juniper, June, June, June. We are flaming in cool. We lift the bowls of its incense and dance. We illuminate like jade, jasper, quartz, and topaz. We are diamonds dipped in lemonade, golden with no words spoken. We are love. We are love. We are love, 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 love. We are love. And we love. Let me tell you something. That's so agape. I'm gonna play with. Peace. Peace.
Gina, Gina.
Yay!
What you think of the poetry selection for the beginning of the show?
Look, it was good, partner. Like, the fact that you threw Love Fabby in there was everything for me because we know how she wrote. So, yeah, that was dope. Larry Maddox on point. Yourself.
I called her up, and she act like she didn't want to give it up at first. And I was like, come on, man. What you doing? You just hit on all this goodness.
Yes,
she let us roll out with it though. I was very grateful for that. Shoot, we had For Real mixed in there. Janice, she opened it up for us with Elephant in the Room. Good selection. How are you feeling about tonight, partner?
I'm feeling like this is everything that I've been waiting for since we started doing this.
Yeah, culmination. I like culminations.
Yeah.
Yeah, culminations are cool. You know, Russ pretty much started out the same time we did. When we started out the small house, Russ was right there. I think it was either like a day separation between our house and his house. And, you know, we started out on the same thing, you know, listening to folks, actually listening to the poetry, you know, and giving feedback about what we heard, at least from our own perspective. You know, we always left it up to the poet to let us know if, you know, we were overstepping or what may have you. And most of the time it came from a place of, like, even if they didn't intend it to be about that, it gave them a new perspective. And I think that's what it really comes down to. You've done a number of live performances, and I know that what you've done has taken people in different ways. Dina?
I don't know about taking them in different ways, but what I do know is I like making eye contact with people in the audience while I'm on stage. I want to be engaged. I want them to feel like that they're in the moment with me instead of just listening to and hearing me.
That's what the foundation of, you know, our two houses was, you know, empathy house and, you know, the small house over there. That's how we started out. It was kind of controversial in the beginning, you know, sitting
yeah.
there telling poets about, you know, hey, this, that, and the other, so on and so forth. But once it caught on, the new people that were coming in, they were kind of looking at it like, you know, I went to a spot and didn't have any feedback. And I was like, well, that's a relatively new thing. But I think it's been beneficial for everybody who's been involved. We don't have to go through something. Somebody else can go through it, and we can have a shared experience,
yeah.
and then we all end up going through it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
True story.
So I guess there ain't nothing to it but to go ahead and get into that bio and go ahead and check out The Good Doctor.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, I am Gina Storm. This is the Just Jay and Gina Show, sponsored by Raw Links here in the Epiphany Universe on the Epiphany Network that was created by For Real the Poet. Why be ordinary when you can be raw, baby, baby? We have a wonderful friend of the Small House of Poetry here on the Epiphany Network this evening. Dr. Russ Livingston has been so kind and gracious to give his evening to us tonight. So we're happy to have him on the big comfy couch here for an interview in the Epiphany Universe on the Just Jay and Gina Storm Show. I'm going to give you his bio. Russ Livingston, medical doctor. He's an MD, is a spoken word artist, and a psychotherapist, as well as a systems analyst and consultant. Seen through the lenses of social justice and social determinants of health, he draws on psychodynamic narratives, as well as family therapy from the schools of thought when serving families, couples, adults, and children. He sees mindful poetic inquiry as a compass guiding us to knowledge of self, to communion with spirit, and to captivate and participate in mending community. Russ believes that deepening our perspective gives us the capacities through mindful practice to have rocket fuel for poets. This is a quote that's near and dear to him. Attention is the rarest and purest form of generosity. The author of That Thought is Simone Weil. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, we would like to present to you, introduce to others, as well as welcome our interviewee of the evening here at the Just Jay and Gina Show on the Epiphany Network, baby, baby. Take your socks off and get comfortable. Dr. Russ Livingston, the mic is yours.
Wait a minute, I got to put my socks off. I didn't know that part. But I guess, you know, feet directly in the soil is the best way to get grounded, right? So, yeah, you guys, I've been looking forward to this. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for accepting the invite. We're happy to have you here. We have a little banter, just Jay and I. We play tracks, usually spoken word, of other poets, sometimes ourselves, as well as inviting our interviewee to the stage so that they can be well received by our listening audience. So we're happy to have you this evening, Russ.
Thank you, sis. I appreciate that very much. How is my sound fidelity?
You sound pretty good.
Again? Absolutely,
okay,
yes. Loud and clear.
Okay, good. I loved what you did with the intro, you guys. I have not heard For Real, but props to him for conceiving of this platform. I loved the work he did and also Janice's. And Jess J, I love that signature piece of yours, Insomnia. It brings me every time to the, you know, the feeling that, like, I think you really manifest that.
Yeah, it's kind of disjointed in places. It was supposed to have been like a madman on a spiral downward.
I think it comes through, you know. And then,
oh, thank you.
I had not heard that piece of Fabi's before. In fact, I'm trying to think whether I've ever heard her sing, but that was like, you know, does Erica Badu have a twin or something?
No, it's a neo soul. She doesn't know what to call it yet.
That part. I'm going to tell you what it is, Russ. Love Fabi. Loves herself. And there's limitations.
Yeah.
And we love her without those. So the way that she's being perceived and received doesn't match her energy because she's downplaying herself. And we're allowing her to. That's what you're hearing.
I got you.
When you have a skill set that big, you can afford to do that.
I swear, if I could sing, I wouldn't talk. I would be like, ooh, yeah. Morning, noon, and night. There would always be runs and songs for me. But that's not my goal.
You know, I'm dipping a toe and singing in my pieces, even though I can't sing. But, you know, it's Fabi and others have really been an inspiration. Yeah, man.
Oh, man. She's a constant inspiration for us, Russ, man. It's crazy. Man, you're deep off into the music scene too, aren't you, Russ?
I really am, yes. And that, you know, I think that kind of lyricism was my first entree into, you know, feeling full creative process and intentional listening before poetry and spoken word. But yeah, I mean, just check my Insta. That's Livingston Russ, and I'm always posting clips of worthwhile music, live music that I've done to see. And, you know, I do that in a way that's got kinship to what...
Sorry about that, brother. I was just about to ask you, what's your genre of choice?
Oh, well, pretty wide, but, funk, jazz, reggae, hip hop, prog rock, classical for sure. I bluegrass, I can manage the occasional country piece. It depends on who it is. Neo soul, Afrobeat. So long as the musicianship is on point and it makes me want to move my body, I'm good. Yeah, I mean, even EDM.
So you're a dancer too, Russ?
I'm not sure that everybody that sees me do it would call it dancing, but yes, I definitely move my body rhythmically to music.
He's not going to tell me that, Russ. We're going to put you down as a dancer. If it has to change in the future, we'll do that.
Look, Jay, you don't even understand the math on this. I am black. Everybody expects us to like fried chicken. I don't. Watermelon. I don't. And be able to dance.
I just ate some watermelon. I ain't about to tell that enough.
So the reality when it comes to being black folks, everybody thinks that we are just rhythmic from birth. That's not true because I'm part of the rhythmless nation. But when I see that Russ is live and he's listening to music and he's in a venue, the first thing I do is click on it. because my thought is this. I'm going to do me and don't nobody see. So I don't be seeing my booty, even if it's off beat, simply because music is universal. And I love that about
Russell. Sing before, too.
Sing?
Give him an ooh yeah, Gina, just for old time's sake.
No. So I will do that. Look, without shame, and I'll be like, ooh, yeah. So every chance I get, I try to add a little song to a piece that I spit, especially off the dome, but that's not my ministry either. But I will attempt that before I will dance in public. So I salute that, Russ. That's beautiful.
Yeah, I mean,
I'll tell you what. Oh, go ahead, brother.
Well, I was just going to say, while I would love to be at liberty to choose all of my activities and therefore, you know, be involved in a practice of yoga, the fact is, I'm not really disciplined like that. And so, but, you know, music moves me, and I would say I get something done in dance that I think most people get done in yoga. I mean, it's a very mindful practice. I'm paying really close attention to, body experience and communion with the music when I'm dancing. And I sweat. I mean, I work it out.
Hey, you know what? I was thinking about that as I was cruising through your Instagram page, that exercise that you're getting doing that is invaluable. And then it's a good way to trick yourself into getting exercise, too. It kind of reminded me of my Wii Fit. You know, as long as it's not like I'm having to work out, I'm cool with it, Russ, in other words.
Same.
Yes, sir. I'll tell you what, we're about to go ahead and get off into your first poem, sir. And then from there, we're going to go ahead and break open some of these questions that we have with you as well. With that being said.
Sounds good.
Dr. Livingston, mic is yours.
All right. Well, this conversation has made me change the order of the pieces. Let me see why in a minute. This first piece is called The First Meanings Are From Music. I envied the musicians, the melody makers, the risk takers. One note is worth 1,000 pictures, so that's 1,000,000 words, or more if you're keeping score. I'm thinking about this because the price of words has suddenly spiked, so I'm choosing carefully. I'm on a tight budget, man. I'll be left with money to burn if I say only what I mean. Gasoline is for gaslighting. Would that I had the single note, the musical phrase to catch the sun's rays, then I would not feel quite so in the dark right now. Music makes a butterfly of things, moves through ideas so fluently as to break ankles. The ecstatic experience of music and dance is like a sheltering fire in the forest black of night. It staves off the beasts of longing. For a time, I feel fully taken by the fire and so have no awareness of the beasts licking their chops in the penumbra. Eventually, at 2, the fire dies down. The musicians play their last notes, pack up their instruments. Patrons engage in desultory conversation. Yearning rarely finds its target. That's when the beasts begin to bay and paw. They salivate, for they know they will have their way with me. After 2, the desert wind picks up. It whistles by me, through me. It cleans me to the bone, and I can again be nothing. Yet, the beasts and the wind and I are one. I, meanwhile, sort feverishly through words and phrases as if through a tote filled with mismatched Legos, and I was never really interested in following instructions. I'd rather craft the well-liked from the unlikely, but this is exactly my point. While a song would make you dance, with these lines, I don't seem to stand a chance. I'd rather give it to Ornette, hear what he brought out from the shed, and then say, what he said. Yet here am I, by words beset, cursing the no-spin zone because you can't change the system with instruments of the system. See, it's back to the rhythm where every turn of phrase makes haste of waves of emotion, the self-soul tide. You better enjoy the ride while you're still standing. Same time, a porcelain shatter of words clatter, landing at my feet, and I stoop to glean meaning from sharpness. Words are well-worn cobblestones. I try complying with civil code. I only want to craft a road from jagged elements so I can get back to fundaments. Yet the best path home just might be, oh. Oh, oh, and that's that piece.
Is that moving so far tonight,
exactly.
Bro?
Right, exactly.
I'm sorry.
Is this what we in store for tonight, Russ?
Kind of, I think so, yes.
That's not really fair. I have a question. Jake, can I pose my first question based on that piece?
Oh, you got the run of the flow. Let's go.
All right. So, oh, my God. What's the label said? Don't make me come and punch you in your throat. You ended the piece with,
I did.
It's not just the sound or the repetitiveness. It's also because, unlike a lot of people who don't make associations between other things, I haven't been one of those people who find something that I can relate to in regards to what I'm listening to. And what I heard was Tina Turner realizing that she wanted to be Buddhist, even though she was in a Christian relationship that was toxic and violent.
Mm.
And when you said, all I could hear was, it was almost as though there was a call to her to say that you are bigger and better than this, and it's not your final destination, it's just your situation. I'd like to know from you where you were when you wrote this and what was your thought process, because it did something for me that you can't even comprehend.
Mm. Yeah. Love that. Well, I mean, that goes to sort of some key aspects of my writing process where I kind of weave intention and, you know, unconscious free writing. So I'm generally sort of wending my way back and forth between the two. And so sometimes I start a piece with a very specific intention, and then I let myself loosen the joints and write sort of freely, and you know, and then bring it, make sure that I'm bringing it back to the intention of the piece. And sometimes it's the other way around, where it's free write and I don't really have a specific intention, but then I lean into what the suggested intention is, or what I hear in the piece, and start to give it some narrative structure. In this case, I was very much intending to honor music and musicians. I think the title of the piece was the prompt, because an acquaintance of mine who teaches music as a way of helping mothers who are having trouble attaching to their babies as a sort of a vehicle for attachment. And so we were talking about that, and she said, the first meanings are for music. And so that was the seed of the piece. And then, you know, I think some of what I was addressing was, you know, what music has done for me over the years. I can go to a gig all bound up, all kind of balled up and stuck and grinding, and it's not long before I feel like my whole heart open and feel joy. So there's the power of that. And then, you know, I think it was rooted in unconscious process, but connects to some thoughts that I have, which are all vocalizations come from breathing, right? That there's certain innate rhythms and expressions in us. And, you know, one of them is the heartbeat, and one of them is the diurnal rhythms of the brain, sort of related to the pineal gland. And one of them is breath, you know, sort of tidal, you know, in and out, like the tide. And then the many iterations of breathing, you know, grief, crying, fear, anger, screaming. And, you know, I think language and singing are further elaborations of that root, that this is us breathing.
Man, you know what, this poem, it had a lot of good chunks in it. I really hate taking notes to poems like this because I want to sit back and I want to enjoy. I want to enjoy what's going on.
Yeah,
this poem did not allow me to sit back and enjoy it. Only because I had to take notes. The only saving grace is that this is being recorded and I can go ahead and play it again. The price of words has suddenly spiked. We're going to go through these quick also, brother. The price of words have suddenly spiked. What are you talking about right there, brother?
Definitely an unconscious right, but like I say, I think, you know, look, I mean, I'm a psychodynamically oriented psychotherapist, so I, you know, believe that the unconscious is constantly flinging out little puzzles, and when we subject them to making meaning, often but not always, that helps people move in a certain direction they've been wanting to. So for me, ask me that another way. Not sure what you're asking there.
Is the ability for us to just, you know, our unconscious is speaking with our lips, and sometimes we don't know the direction. We just know that we have this line of thought. Is that process being suppressed by this culture that we currently have, as far as the cancellation culture, so on and so forth?
I get your question. Well, okay, so this idea, you know, that we have an unconscious is a narrative to explain patterns of thought and feeling and behavior. It's different than, you know, an anatomical entity where you can demonstrate its existence. So it's a construct. And, you know, many people, including myself, find this to be a very, very powerful and useful construct. And so the function of the unconscious is, in theory, is to keep out of awareness thoughts and feelings that the self finds unacceptable or unbearable. And some of that supports best function. Like, in theory, if everything in our unconscious minds was suddenly conscious, I'm not sure, you know, I think commerce would stop. You know, I people would have difficulty functioning.
Like all the person to shut down because there's so much back there. If all that became to the forefront, it would be a lot of stuff that doesn't make any sense, too. Like, you know, the color red. Why am I fixated on the color red? I don't know. My mind is going off on this little tangent here. If that was brought to the front and I was thinking about that, I might be in trouble because that pops up anyways.
Right, right. And so, you know, this, by the way, coheres to, you know, other theory, which we probably don't have time for, but just to briefly touch on it.
And we need to keep it a little bit short, too, because there were so many points I want to hit you with
okay,
this
fine.
Poem, with, man. This poem is dope.
Okay, so I'll just say to close the comment about that. So there's a self kind of monitoring that we use the unconscious for. But absolutely, your initial question that, you know, self in society, we're influenced by what a culture finds acceptable and what culture does not find acceptable. And so, yes, that does foster further repression, for sure.
At the very end, you know, we've been talking about words being as a construct and, you know, mentality as a construct of what may have you, maybe no mind. But you said words are well-formed cobblestones. So now that has actually taken something and made it feel like it had weight. What are you talking about there, Bob?
Well, they're symbols, right? And you know, the value of these symbols are that they allow us to transfer an idea from our own heads to other people's heads. So in a way, they're the foundation, they're one of the foundations for empathy. You know, if I hear words coming from you that explain your circumstance, then I may be able to feel connected with you. Recognize your humanity. And so well-worn cobblestones are, you know, we really rely on these. These are foundational and they're polished over time that we've, you know, trued the wheel. We've kind of, you know, worked these words enough so that we have shared meaning. We have a shared lexicon.
Sweet, sweet. Gina, do you mind giving us the station identification and promo? Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I got it right here.
You're listening to Epiphany Radio, the Real Entertainment Network. Your number one hit station in town.
This is Radio.
Your number one hit station.
This is Tom. And you're listening to Epiphany Radio. The For Real Entertainment Network. Peace, blessings, and one love.
All right. We'd like to welcome everybody back. If you want to get into the queue so that you can go ahead and spit, press 1. 615, I'm about to go ahead and bring you over in here.
You have C-34 music in stereo. Hi, Just Jay. Hi, Gina Stone. And Dr. Livingstone, I presume.
Hey.
Don't that
nice
feel good when
acquainted.
You say that, Clarence?
I had to get it out. It just had to come out.
Well, not for nothing, but you've just told me something about roughly your age, because that thing, Dr. Livingston, I presume, has completely dropped out of the popular dialect. So anybody under age 30 has no idea what the hell that means, generally speaking. So I got to you as at least 35, between 35 and 45, I'm guessing.
Hmm. Yeah,
okay,
I'm just going to
put this out here. I'll be 54 in December, and he is my big brother, and I'm going to let
him
go.
Oh, okay. Well, nice to meet you, big brother.
Yes, yes. I'm let's say about 2 years away from 60.
I'm 2 years away from 62, but I'm 2 years past it.
See, you're past it and I'm below it. So there we go.
Yeah, I got you beat.
So that's anywhere from 5 to 11 years. I don't know. Somebody correct me. My math is terrible. Hey, man, you've been doing a lot of interesting things out here, clients. Man, it's been really good hearing it from you.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad that you appreciate it. I'm glad that all of you appreciate it. I wish I could have been on Small House of Poetry, but, you know, delivery calls, and that's what I do.
Got you, bro. The music that you've been doing has been A1. What percentage of those beats are yours, brother?
Say that again, please.
What percentage of those beats are yours? That one that you had did for the that My Pet Insomnia, man, that beat was crazy, dreamy, nice. I like that a whole lot.
I would say the majority of it's mine. You can tell what the samples are.
Oh, it'd be something for nostalgia or something like that?
Yes.
I tell you what, bro, I'm going to go ahead and let you give you about 30 seconds to go ahead and shout out who you are, what you do, or you can set up your poem. And you can go into it, sir.
Okay. All right. Who I am is Clarence Ferguson, Jr., a.k.a. C as in C, double as in double digits, double cheeseburger, double D breast, 34 the number, and music. I do poetry. I do beat making, I do music production, I do husband, I do father, I do man of God. That's what I do. So this piece I do have is called Label Maker. What does melanated mean? Is that the term used now related to when people were called colored, a category meant to render people inferior based on the opposite opinions of the ignorant? When did I accept what someone else called me? When did I let someone enslave my train of thought? Who tied my soul into Windsor knots, choking the life they never were vessels used to create? Who authorized them to look down on me like a scourge? If they're like me, why was I priced to the highest bidder? 40 acres and a mule, who are the jackasses that agreed to the pact and documentation to proclaim my emancipation? I'm waiting. How many layers of labels are you making to explain my presence? How many changes on this application to describe my DNA origin? Why do I have to attach myself to limitations causing my lamentations? Why embrace the idea of falling from prideful propaganda, regularly scheduled programming? If I say that the sun set me free indeed, why isn't that enough? If I'm a believer of Christ the Messiah, do I believe that religious Christian instead of walking the narrow road within the chosen few? Is my name Andre Agassi with the tagline, image is everything? Do I imagine like John Lennon before I was shot to death at the Chelsea, stuck in rigor mortis, having no color, so am I saying I'm now white? I'm a passenger, So did I say I'm a permanent citizen to this world? My citizenship is not here. I'm an immigrant from ether space. So why should I be captioned and locked in a box of uncontrolled continuous rage? Wasn't I loved before this boy became a man? Ain't I a soul spirit encased, encapsulated in meat flesh? Don't I bleed the same color blood as y'all? And why we enjoying entering this loophole? The same blueprint on blackboards reddened by jaundiced lemonade of blasting white noise? Guess that's what really matters as we all meet the one who sacrificed himself for eternal life, but he never really knew us at all. Because we got the gall to fight galleries, thinking of fallacies, listening to political analysis. Memories of immorality shackling the ankles, shattering mentalities. And yes, this reality is happening. Living as an enigma of sadness, social constructs. But the fact is, we become non-factor during protests, being targeted. Fight for those who cannot fight for themselves. Love Yahweh and love your neighbors as yourselves. But you don't hear me, though. You'd rather be offended, oppressed, debating, and yelling, and you may be right, as all get out. But this here? Will you accept a criminal record as a felon? Will you be on the front lines, taking a bullet to your chest? These are questions needing answers, my sisters and brethren, before breakfast. This is not a game, and there's no referees for your reference. See, I live above the rims, eating my fried chicken and watermelon, free at last from not being accepted just to fit in like the rest of you. Servants indentured in the government is Hannibal Lecter, in fellowship on another level. Get it? That's that piece.
Ooh. Gina, you want to go first with this one?
I had to say woo too. Dexter, that's how you really feel. I feel like if you're confused, you shouldn't still be, because this brother just broke it down for you. And it wasn't in any way that was harmful or disrespectful to any poetry genre or individual who might be listening or who thinks that this is that kind of piece. But the reality is, C-34 Music listens with intention. And he shares pieces because these are the things that he thinks. And he just, I'm not confused about the math. And it all makes sense to me. It computes. All I can say about this piece is, Dexter, damn, you could have warned me. I wasn't ready in my Tiffany Hardest voice. I'm like, bro, I'm your sister Didi. This is Sister Soul. You came out here like we were strangers, but it wasn't for me. It was for the listeners. And if you were listening with intention, you heard the message that he was displaying. Clarence First Jr. on Facebook is not to be trifled with. Listen to his poetry and his recordings and his remixes, his SoundCloud, Spotify, and all the places that you can find him. And I know why. Because he stays in the lab and he's texting, I'm Didi. And my big brother understands poetry. That's all I got for you, Dex, because I think that Jay was expecting me to do something that was, you know, prolific and amazing, but the reality is we ain't just me. This ain't the show. It's not the rehearsal. It's the show. You know it. So here you are with just Jay and Dina Storm giving us your best. I appreciate that, bro.
This is my little sister. I've dubbed her Didi. To my Dexter from Dexter's Lab. Russ, this is what we do. My poem is basically saying, you can call yourself black, you can call yourself white, you can call yourself this, that, whatever. But just know that the government gave you that. I've always said God never called me black. The government has, family has. And I could accept it, but then I'm limiting myself. I'm bigger than that. I'm bigger than my color. I'm bigger than my skin tone. I'm spirit and meat flesh. And I walk the narrow road. That's what I tried to do.
It came off as a very smart poem because some of the items that you were throwing out there were kind of hot. They were big, too. Now I was like, I wonder how he's going to juggle his way through this. What I seen you do was you talked about the things against the skin color, the aggression. After that, you had got over into the humanizing of yourself. Really smart poem, man. You talked about John Lennon. So you wasn't like, I only listen to black music. You were talking about these different things in intimate ways, like the same way that they would, the same way they would understand. Then from there, it got to the battlefield, and it was talking about, you know, a bullet. You know what I'm saying? You were starting to put in very serious concepts of, like, you know, this is what it actually is. You know, when people watch Rambo and all these other shows, and the only person that can shoot straight is the star of the show. Everybody else shooting crooked. Or they're shooting straight as an arrow up until it comes, they get down to the hero, they can't shoot straight no more. But the real life is, yeah, everybody wants to live and nobody wants to die, and everybody's out there to kill and ensure, and to ensure to make that happen. That's the real seriousness of it. Smart poem, brother.
Thank you very much. I just keep thinking about when I did this, I thought about the Tennessee Three that's down here. We got one that's kind of like Rick James, one that's kind of like, I don't know, he's like Don Cornelius with a super blowout kick pro. And then we got this one, and Gina, you know exactly where I'm going. It's kind of like the host of The Crisis, right? And Whose Line Is It Anyway? And had a show that said Cleveland Rocks. But we could tell that she was feeling the melanin.
I mean, those three really stood out. They really do. Can I make a comment or two about the piece?
I was trying to figure out a way to introduce you in there, but that's the best way, Russ.
No need.
Okay, cool.
He's got this. Russ, let me
cool.
Please add to
yeah,
my
you're at home now, Russ.
Let's,
yeah.
Okay, let's do this. We at the crib.
Yeah, I mean, I related hard to this piece. I mean, I'm a white man, and I think this racial divide is everybody's problem, and you know, this is not an original idea, but I subscribe to the idea that this is more the white person's work than anything else. Why? Because we're the perpetrators, you know, and it's our work to undo this. I don't mean to say I'm not making an argument against black activism. In fact, you know, I work hard and feel honored to stand behind folks leading that charge. So, you know, that's where I'm coming from when I hear this piece. Starts with the title, man, the label maker. So I thought about, well, who's the maker, right? And so then you're addressing these constructs, the government and society that puts labels on. And so it's almost like you're describing, you know, those elements of society as false gods. It's not for them to label. It's the maker's job, right? And you really draw that out beautifully at the outset. Like, good question. When did the word melanated get so popularized? And why that? And, you know, is that, you know, what is that word? Is it further iteration of, well, as you described it, getting locked in a box of rage, or is that, you know, claiming identity? And it's not obvious, right? And I think in a very real way, I'm no historian, but in a very real way, these constructs of race are relatively recent in human history. I loved there was a transition in the piece. You reference how Jesus never knew us. And then you rise to those values. You say, look, you know, love your neighbors. And then you're back to, you know, calling people out. But you don't hear me. And I read the, are you willing to be on the front lines as, are you willing to go to war against this kind of oppressive narrative? And you brought in the urgency, the answer before breakfast. I love this piece. I can't wait to hear more of your work.
Thank you very much. My thing is pride goes before the fall. That's one thing. And secondly, if people believe in white supremacy, that means they gave them the power. I don't give white supremacy the time of day because it has no power over me. I don't give black pride the time of day because it has no power over me. You see, I take care of this home. I take care of me, and I let God take care of me. That's basically how I roll.
Well, brother, we appreciate you bringing that piece in here, man. We have a few more callers with their hands up, man. We appreciate everything that you've been doing to help out me and Gina as well, too, sir. Thank you for all your efforts.
You're welcome. I'm in the lab if you need me.
That's from what I heard and seen. Thank you, brother. You take care now.
All right, peace.
All right. We have another bullet in the box. After we go ahead and do this poll right here, we'll be going to see a piece of Dr. Livingston. Let's see who we got here.
Hey, what it do, what it do?
Caller, identify yourself.
Hey, this is For Real the Poet. What it do?
Well, now we're just talking about you at the beginning of the show. Talk about this guy's the CEO.
Hey, how you doing? Dr. Russ Livingston, how are you, sir?
Nice to meet you, For Real. I was pleased to hear that piece of yours that they played at the beginning of the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. It's an honor having you here, Doctor. You know, I know how busy you doctors can be. So for you to lend your time up in here with us guys, man, it's a beautiful thing. So I salute you.
Hey, listen, I love what this Jay and Gina have been doing. I, you know, completely buy into the value of amplifying the signal, and I, you know, I feel like the blessing is mine, you know. And
Yeah. Listen,
I wasn't aware that you had formed this platform, and thanks so much for doing so. It helps all of us.
Hey, thank you. Thank you so much, man. It was put on me by the Most High to provide a place for the voiceless, you know, to be heard, man. And because I was at one time that unheard voice, you know, so that's what that's all about. But and just to bring it up, man, I love that piece that you shared. I love that.
Thank you.
You know, I'm over here tripping, if I can just loosen up a little bit. I'm over here tripping because I'm a healthcare worker, right? I work with a lot of doctors. And so it's fascinating. You know, I'm listening to you and some of the things they said in your bio about you. And for you to have the time to even, you know, to dibble in poetry is amazing to me because you doctors, man. You give up a lot of time of your life, you know, away from the family, you know, doing what you do, doing what you guys do. So that's why I'm in awe right now, just listening to you share, you know.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I mean, the poetry is completely, well, it completely coheres to what I try to get done in my work. So, you know, I'm I say psychotherapist because people develop an assumption when I say psychiatrist, which is that I'm, mm-hmm. you know, white coat and meds. And while I do prescribe meds in certain limited circumstances where I feel like high probability of it being useful, that's not most of what I'm doing. Most of what I'm doing is various kinds of psychotherapies and, you know, basically what you'd call public sector mental health mm-hmm. At the policy level. And that's, you know, that's a social justice kind of investment and position. And so you can see pretty quickly where the poetry, you know, connects seamlessly
right.
to my intentions.
If I can, ask you, when did the poetry come a part of your life?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been writing since I was, 10, maybe. But it's also true that I couldn't have written more than 15 poems up until COVID hit, and I couldn't get out to music. And I'm a night owl, and I'm as, chatty as I sound like I am, so I always like having people to talk to. So I was really casting about, found Clubhouse, fell in with poets, and I mean, silliest thing, I didn't want to come back into rooms with the same old pieces, and that, you know, that opened the floodgates, but then there's reasons for the flood well beyond that.
Mm-hmm. Understood. So
you know how they say, first the man takes a drink, then the drink takes a drink, then the drink takes the man. That's how it is for me
yeah.
with poetry. Poetry's taking me.
I got you.
I know you do.
So do you find poetry, see now, you said you're a psychotherapist?
Yes.
Okay. So do you find poetry, the writing of it, the dibbling and dabbling in it, and also the sharing of it by way of vocalizing it, do you find that to be therapeutic for yourself?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, I swear by what I got done being in therapy myself in terms mm-hmm. of healing. But having said that, there's pieces of work that I'm getting done in myself that I never got done in therapy and probably couldn't get done in therapy. So yeah, absolutely. And, I facilitate a room with another poet, mental health professional, Miss Lady, on Clubhouse on Saturday morning,
okay.
10 a.m. Eastern, called Wounded Healer Poets Brigade. And it's exactly mm-hmm. that vibe. I hope you'll come
yeah.
through. Check it out.
I have.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I have. I didn't know that was you, but I know now, and you can rest assured I'll be there. Great, man. So thanks for the time, man. Like I said, I'm just overjoyed that you're here, and I'm loving the
program. I feel honored that you dropped in, man.
I have to, man. These guys do a great job of interviewing. I once shared your same spot. They put me on the spotlight, under the spotlight, and, it was tremendous. So I know the feeling, and it was a beautiful feeling, and I'm still feeling. They're trying to get me back there. I'm still healing from the first from the first experience. Yeah, but I'm glad
yeah.
to be here tonight, and in honor of you, sir.
Well, thank you.
Hey, for real, before you get out of here, can you do us a poem, brother?
Yes, I'll share something with you. I have something
Hold on, wait, no. Flag on the play. I'm just going to stop this in midstream. In the entire hell does Larry Maddox think that he is, that he can come on an Epiphany of Network show and not spit a piece? For one, don't ask him. Demand it of him. One, two, Larry,
this is what they
don't
do
make
to
me come
anytime.
To Philly. Don't make
yes,
me come
ma'am.
To Philly. I swear on everything I know and love, my plate is full right now. But as soon as I'm free, I will come to Philadelphia just to punch you in the throat, sir. You don't leave us with peace. And this is not me being aggressive or a bully. This is me simply saying this is my friend Larry, and I love him to his infinity. And this is the Epiphany Network, baby, baby.
Yeah.
Took my socks
Take
off.
Take your socks off.
Let's go.
Well,
I'm not
trying
to be ordinary.
You
I'm trying to be raw. Mm-hmm. Yeah, get yourself together.
All right, I got it.
Give me the mic, Dina.
Thank you. So with that being said, author Larry Maddox, a.k.a. For Real the Poet, a.k.a. the founder and the mastermind behind the Epiphany Network, who tells us every single week that we do not need to be ordinary and we can be raw. If you don't take this mic, bruh, you best. Love you, Mimi.
Love you, too. Thank you, Dina. Thank you. This is an excerpt from my book, Love Letters from the Book of Life, Love and Circumstances. Love. Love is the most sour of grapes. Bitter when you're left without it. Sweet as shit in the beginning. See, many profess to possess it, describes it like it's magic, and the holder of it's a magician. Love, if you had ever touched it for a minute, or fell out of it, lost it, right now are you losing it? Love, like a rabbit out of a hat, poof, gone. Where do they do that at? Love. I heard she sang a good song. I heard she had a style. And so I came to see her. I'm unable to sing 2 hour song. This song is all I have left of what we had. On a guitar, this singer knows my pain. Delicate, her fingers strum. Poetically, what can't be explained. Piercing, hitting chords attached to my heart. She keeps playing. A feather to my heart's strings. Every note about, she's written this song all about me. Leaving me with a better understanding of the phrase. Killing me softly. Killing me softly with this song that's all about me. Killing me softly with her song, telling my whole life. Sing with her words. Sing. Killing me softly. Because I'm unable to, with her song. This faded melody fighting inside of me, the pain in the memories trying to hold on, because it reminds me of what used to be. No one to talk to, but this song understands me completely, and it speaks to me, and it's singing to me, calling unto me, every single note reaching out to me, and it's soothing, acoustically moving me at a time when everything else is mute to me. See, she be my soul tie, so I love her completely, even though the pain now invades me. Tears subside through eyes, escaping right now. Life and death is multiple choice to me. So do I pull it out or push it further in. Devastating is this thing that's stabbing at me. You see, I heard that she sang a good song, but my soul right now not feeling it. My ears are deaf to it, but my heart hears it. My heart hears it. My heart just keeps hearing this song, this song, this song that's killing me softly. That's killing me softly. With the lies, the lily white lies, line upon line. Each line was lined with lines of strychnine, poisonous. How could you sing about love when my love was so blatantly denied, clotheslined, and I'm left to wrestle with the fact that I was so blind? Love, love, love at first sight. You scratched out my eyes and left me with cataracts. See, I love the music, but her lyrics were full of shit. I wanted to run up on the stage, grab the mic, and wipe my ass with it. See, I heard that she sang a good song, a good song. Oh, she sang a good song, beautiful melody, but her words fucked up our favorite song. Yet still, she's killing me softly. Old, old love letters. Like some Harlequin romance novel, you and I, we kiss life together, living our deepest fantasies as we magically delicious page, but the last chapter ended in tragedy before our lips could complete destiny's embrace. There's no need for ink or a pen. I'm writing love letters in pencil, just in case something needs to be erased. Like that love. For real.
That had to breathe a second, bro.
What you doing in here? What are you doing up here?
Hey. Thank you, man.
Oh, man. Bro, you went nuts in here.
Man, thank you. Bro.
Love is like a rabbit out of a hat. This song is all I have left of what we had. She keep playing. A feather to my heartstring, killing me softly. I was on my knees with her song. Faded memories trying to hold on to you. Every note was reaching out to you. She must be my soul tie. Life or death is multiple choice to me. I heard she sang a good song, but my heart ain't feeling it. She killing me softly with lies, left to wrestle that I was so blind, loved the music, but that wasn't, but she wasn't shit. I wanted to run up on the stage and wipe my ass with it. She killing me. Lovers, old lovers in Harlequin, turning our pages. I'm writing love letters from now. So I can erase.
Hey, man, I tried to put as much pain in it as I could.
Oh, I think you put it all in there.
Yeah. Just to put it out there.
Great piece.
Just to put it out there, little brother, the book is about love, but not your average love. It's the other side of love. Many of us have experienced that heartache, painfulness, brokenness. Okay. This book is about broken love. So it's titled Love Letters, this section of the book. And I have a few people that give me love letters that I freely ask them to write for me, expressing to those people that broke their hearts how they feel. And this section is called Love Letters.
Oh, get out of here. Next time you do something like that, you let me know. Next time you do something like that, you let me know. There it is.
That piece,
I want to be involved with something like that. That's deep. That's off in the weeds.
I still got a spot for you, bro. This book is it's not released yet.
Let's go. Dana, what do you think about this poem that the CEO, this guy, this dude, the dude in love, he wanted to run up on the stage and kill the song in her mouth.
Yeah.
When it comes to Larry, I expect nothing less than greatness. And the reality is that he sees the way that it exists. See, there are people who have on rose-colored glasses, and they have on what I said in a piece that I said earlier was this: wine or beer or goggles. He's not enamored with love, nor is he intoxicated with love. What he is telling you the reality of love. And if you were so inclined to believe that this is not your destination, shame on you, because my big brother, your big brother, my little brother, told me that sometimes love is not enough. I don't care how good you think you're doing it. If you're not giving your partner what they need so that they can thrive, all you're doing is waking up every day. I get it. I understand it. You're alive. But are you thriving? No, you're not. And the reality is, you only do that when you're in the presence of greatness, because people around you will make it a possibility for you to see through this, past it, above it, beyond it. Larry said, I don't care what you've been used to. This is that work you're going to get, and this is what you're going to do. And I like that, because sometimes people have to just live in their moment and process the way that things the way that they do, so they can be okay. And if that's not you, then please move out the way. And I love that with every fiber of my being, because I've been there previously. And I didn't know until I knew. Mm-hmm. But I
thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Okay. So, but that's what I thought. And that was my comeback. And so thank you, Jay, for asking me.
Thank you, Gina.
Dr. Livingston.
You're welcome, Larry.
You want to give some
you know
feedback?
I love you.
Dr. Livingston, would you like to get some feedback, sir? You might be on mute. Russ, you still there, brother? Ew. All right. Hey, Russ, is this you, sir?
Yes, it is. Yeah, my phone cut off.
All right.
And, so I called back in. But, yeah, I definitely want to comment on this remarkable piece. First of all, I love the form of it. Like the, you know, if you step back, big picture, I feel like one of those, you know, airplanes where you have to, you know, the balsa airplanes where you have to, like, turn the propeller and the rubber band gets more and more and more taut and then you release it. That's what this felt like. Like, you really wound it up really tight and then you let it fly. And I'll tell you what I mean by that in just a minute, but the other thing I love about this is I love when poets are able to give language for shared experience that is difficult to give language for, and everybody listening goes, oh yeah, that, and that is a real gift. So to me, the thing that you were winding up about was the dilemma. Like, the love is so deep and the loss of it hurts so much that I don't even want to sing this song. And then, you know, you give us a little taste of it, right? You tell us why you don't want to sing it, and then you go back to singing it more. So it's I can't get comfortable here. I want to turn away from this, but I can't because I'm so deeply in it still. And it right. became, you know, you brought that dilemma right up to life and death, as Jared, as just Jay pointed out, you know, multiple choice. You were at the point of going,
yes.
you know, and then you let it fly. You went, should I go further in? And then you went there. And it's like, to my mind, that was the release. You fully gave in to feeling awash in these feelings, which led you to the anger, right? These were lies.
Right.
That's when you introduce it. These were lies and strychnine, and my love was denied. I was clotheslined. I was so blind. Ooh, so good. And and that, you know, that led to your resolution,
yeah.
man. You know,
yeah.
and I'll end my comments just with this. I got myself back into therapy recently when I was working on making an important life transition, and all the rational arguments for waiting were gone, and yet I still wasn't making the moves. And so I had a first session with this new therapist. She listened, and at the end, all she said is, where's your anger? It was like, oh, okay. So this really felt kin to that experience for me. Love the piece.
Yeah. Thank you, man. And I love your dissertation, man. I just love hearing what people get from it, you know, and that's the whole purpose of forming a book full of poetry like that, because there are some of us that have been through that. Everything's not rainbow, you know, butterflies and roses. You know, there's some people that during their time of wallowing in that,
yeah.
don't want to hear that. Don't want to hear about the butterflies and the roses, you know. They want to know that, or they need to know that others have gone through that and rise above it, you know. But thanks again, Doctor. I love what you said. Thank you.
I look forward to chopping it up with you more.
Hey, it's going to happen. Trust me. Once again, man, so I salute you on this night. This is your night.
Thank you.
Well, love, y'all.
For real. Man,
yes,
appreciate
sir.
You coming through like that. Man, I had got so engrossed in y'all conversation, I'm sitting back. I just jumped into the audience, man.
Hey, man, that's beautiful, man. Love you guys, man. What you're doing, hey, man. Much success, much continued success, man. I'm going to continue to listen in. One love, one mic, y'all. Baby, baby.
Appreciate you, big bro.
Take your socks off, bro.
Take care, bro.
One love.
You know what? We have been trying to work together for a minute. Russ, I'm glad that we're finally starting to get to a place where we can go ahead and get some traction on that. I think it's only going to be bigger and better things in the future.
Well, we certainly have shared intentions and kind of the shape of how, you know, the way you've structured what you're doing has some kinship to how I'm thinking about it. And so, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt that.
It's always been a knowledge exchange anyways.
Say again?
It's always been a knowledge exchange anyways. And the same way like with the poetry, when we talk to the poets and, you know, we're talking to them about their poetry, but at the same time, we're learning as well. I think that we've always done an exchange of knowledge to go ahead and help each other to get to where we're at and the things that we've been doing. Been an awesome partnership.
I know that I've been learning from you for sure, and from Small House.
Man, we've all been
That's
learning
true.
From one another. It's basically a thing taken down there, man. Everybody knows a little bit of something, man, and whoever knows what, then we go ahead and let them run with the ball. So it's been a good thing. It's been very beneficial for us.
Yeah, you know, and I want to suggest that there's, you know,
Clubhouse is a big house, and people use it for so many different purposes. There's a lot of the sort of, there's a lot of those streets where it's just nonsense. And I would agree with you that the poetry community has made amazing use of the opportunity, particularly what you're talking about, everybody bringing a dish to a potluck and all of us, eating better for that than we would have alone.
We're going to go ahead and do the station identifier, man, and then when we come back, you'll be doing another piece for us, sir.
Okay, sounds good.
And what are you looking like on time anyways, Russ?
I got time. I mean, I committed the evening to this.
All right, well, the way this is going, because people are starting to flood in now, I'm really interested to see who are behind these microphones. But we're going to go into the station identifier.
Cool.
We'll come back, and then we're going to go ahead and do that thing, brother.
You're listening to the Epiphany Radio, the Real Entertainment Network. Your number one hit station in town.
This is Radio.
This is Song, and you're listening to Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network. Peace, blessings, and one love.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Welcome back. Gina, how you doing, lady? You all right over there? To Gina. Come in, Gina.
So
I'll make sure my sister.
The right finger and single operation to get into my own device. Ladies and gentlemen, in case you're confused, I am Gina Storm and I have three grandchildren, one of which will get on your device while you're sleeping if she has access. But she does not have my fingerprint. So sometimes when I'm being seeked by my co-host, I'm not available because I cannot use my fingerprint as my hand is wet. But all I can say is, let's go.
All right. With that being said, Dr. Russ Livingston, sir, the mic is yours.
All right, then. Thank you. This piece is called The Thinness of Paraffin. I told Icarus, relax, it's just wax. A dream of wings is more real than any realization. All of creation resides in imagination. Imagine an earthen vessel thrown on divinity's wheel, clay shaped like the universe, glazed with cerulean sky, dappled in blood, fired in kilns, earth, air, fire, water, as elements of revolution without which there can be no identity. Some fights for selfhood result in hard-won first names only. Do you know Dave? Dave was a potter, the most renowned of the black potters of Old Edgefield in South Carolina. He knew Confederate slave owners literally made a crime for black slaves to learn to read and write. Dave took the fight to them, inscribed poems into jars, fired with revolution in the stars in Dave's far-reaching imagination. Let us take stock of our situation. Potters are all my relations, the two-legged, the four-legged. Potters are artists, dancers, physicists, poets. we carve identity marks into our creation so that all who hold our flights of fancy, hands cupped and warmed by brimful ideas, know they are in relation to our notions, adorned by inspiration. Our scrivened vessels pass from hand to eternal hand. We take turns drinking deeply or sipping. We are both sacred souls and sensate soma seated with sanctity. I salivate for rainbow essence, so sated we settle and spread roots widely like banyan trees. Perhaps we're all always reaching for connection. Aren't we imagination vessels thrown on local wheels, fired in furnaces and finished ugly or beautiful? Might we trust the design? It's fine. There is no notion so bold these bowls can't hold. Nothing exists outside of imagination. And yet we are beset by irrationality, not properly guided by intentionality. We don't seem to know when to close our eyes and take fanciful flight, which cognitions to stir solely in our bowls, and which inspiration to ladle from a humble vessel to pour out into material reality. Take wax and feathers. A dream of flight would be more real than wings of Icarus. Better to hold some flights of fancy lovingly in imagination. Beware the longing to be God, lest we forget that we are already divinity. And in forgetting, we lose communion. We are cast into the void, ashamed of our nakedness. Then, frail and human, panicked, imagination becomes the domain of chimeras, of ghouls, and we are recast as fools. Wax and tar and feathers, tar and feathers, ambition and contrition drive our ailing condition, and then we're on to dreaming of ammunition, profound abnegation. Gone is the elation of imagining, and we race headlong to extinction. I think God is sick of us playing Icarus. A dream of wings is more real than the pretense that we can fly. Here, close your eyes. Recruit each breath to animate suspension. With each inhalation, more elevation, floating gently up from the good earth. This type of flying is exaltation. It's not that we fly too close to the sun. It's that we fail to realize that we and the stars are already one. And peace.
When a piece like that ends, you know what I think, Jay? Yeah, that part.
Yeah.
We need to let it breathe, then exclamate, and move forward.
Ross, you are killing this.
Wow. Thank you, just Jay.
Gina, do you want to go first or do you want me?
I'd like to because I look at it like this. One, Russ. Damn. And two, how dare you?
Mm-hmm.
And three,
I know. Exactly.
I appreciate you.
Like, there you
I
go.
Don't know
all
what
the
order should be. But as a person who grew up in psychotherapy, everything that you spit was something that I needed. So I don't know if you took a deep dive into my psyche with me and just staying our lives, but I'll be honest with you, You made me feel safe. And safety is amazing. I've been in a lot of relationships that were love or by DNA relations where a situation came about that made me so uncomfortable that I couldn't even breathe. And then I listened to your piece, and all I could say was, inhale, exhale, and just be, because if this is what he does for a living, and he's saying these things in his piece that a lot of people don't even comprehend the language on this. It's not about, you know, 1 + 1 = 2. No. I used to call this psychobabble when I didn't know any better. But the reality is, it is your calling. You're doing what you must do. It comes to you organically. It's your ministry. It is your divinity. Not just your patient. You understand that?
I do, Gina. I appreciate those comments. And
I have to say that because you do so much with people that your peopling skills are experts. And I'm struggling to people. So you make it easier for me to be a human being. I don't want to cry, but for us, you're amazing. Like, I need you. And I'm glad that we ran into each other on Clubhouse, because if it wasn't for that, you wouldn't be here tonight on a 15. You would not have met Larry Maddox. Bruce the Poet has been my friend for decades. Just Jay and I are partners because he gets me. And then you show up. And your job goes against everything that I believe in as a human being. But I know that psychotherapy is a necessity, especially when it comes to healing. And you did and said things in that piece that made me remember why I need to have people who look out for me. And you're one of the people who looks out for people. It has nothing to do with me individually, but I accept that. I love it and I honor it. So with that being said, Russ Livingston, I'm so glad that you're here at the Epiphany Network on the For Real The Entertainment Network. And I understand that you had options, but why be ordinary when you're going to be raw is what we say here, baby, baby, take your socks off. You didn't even know Larry Maddox, and now you are going to follow him. I was following you because you kept me in a state and same state. And I'm not just saying safe. Let me say it again. Same place. For a person who grew up in psychotherapy and for a person who believes that the world's a terrible place and people are awful, and I don't need friends. I have family. I need you to understand that I love you to infinity because you've kept me grounded in spaces and in times when I didn't even think that I needed someone to surround me and make sure that I was safe and okay. Because I'm part of the Small House of Poetry, which is a safe space. I would come within your spaces and feel like it was the same thing. That's how I felt listening to this piece. And no matter what I've encountered and all the things that I've endured, there are people who do what you do for a living, who makes it possible for Regina Brooks to survive. So I appreciate you. Because Gina Storm is an afterthought. She's more like a hat that I wear, and I don't wear house in the house. Mm. So I want to thank you, Russ, for that.
Well, let me say a few words in response. First of all, thank you for your words. You know, the sense of safety is, you know, foundational to almost anything, to being able to be in community and to explore the way we explore through our work. And so I'm so glad that you, you know, experienced that. This is something we can do for each other. And it has everything to do with how we manifest our own energies. And, you know, this goes back to the value of let there be peace and let it begin with me, which is near and dear to my heart. So, you know, or another saying that fits entirely with this is be the change you want to see in the world. And so, you know, it's meaningful to me to hear you say that you feel safe with me. Second comment is your skepticism about the mental health field. I would say anyone who's looking comes by that skepticism, honestly. Huge, huge gulf between what common sense and the research evidence base tells us what the practice should look like. And I would say that about most social programs, you know, education, public health more globally, there's a real gulf between the knowledge base of what it should look like and what it actually looks like. And, you know, the thing that distorts it the most of all is that that we're housed inside a, you know, corporate, capitalist, neo-fascist culture. And so, you know, those in control warp basically all systems to their bidding. And so that's true of psychotherapy like it's true of anything else. I like to say that there's maybe 20% of the people practicing who I would trust with myself or my own family members. And, you know, it's not an easy thing to be a consumer of mental health services. You know, if you got a bad mechanic or a bad painter, for a bad house painter, it can take a long time to know that you've got, you know, somebody who's not helpful. I would say roughly, you know, 10 to 20% of the people practicing are not cutting it regarding the first do no harm standard. And then there's a solid, you know, 60% in the middle that are, you know, basically benign or nice to talk to, but are not practicing what we know about what helps people. And then you're left with roughly 20% who can be useful. So, you know, I don't balk at your skepticism. I'm with you on it. Anyways, thanks for your words, Tina.
That's what I'm talking about right there, man.
Absolutely.
Bro.
Thank you, Jay. Because I'm telling you, Russ don't even know. He don't even look. He don't even know.
Oh, he just saved your butt again.
It was like a free therapy that I didn't even sign up for. So I'm grateful. I'm humbled and I'm thankful.
It's free kinship is really what it is. It's you know, most professions in the field will make a very clear delineation as to what therapy is and what it isn't. And so I get it that in the, you know, sort of lay lexicon, you know, that you might call this therapy, but, you know, the calling it therapy comes with some medical, legal consequences. And so I pretty much anyone says, thank you for the therapy, when it's not, I make it clear that there's a distinction. So, but yeah, man, I mean, the kinship is everything. And there's a lot of healing that can happen in community.
You know what, man? I'm gonna go into your poem, but first I want to hear about Clubhouse. I remember seeing you in Clubhouse when Clubhouse was young. I mean, when I was young at the Clubhouse. How has Clubhouse been beneficial for Russ Livingston since he's been there?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I mentioned earlier that it was a solution to, like, the rug getting pulled out from under me. It's central for me to chop it up with people. Like, you know, my whole process of discovery and being has to do with being in community. And, you know, when I could suddenly no longer go out to music, and it's not just going out to music. It's, you know, it's the parking lot situation in between sets when everybody pours out and, you know, it happens that avid music fans, it tends to select for people who are good listeners and therefore also have the gift of gab. So that was all suddenly gone. And, you know, here was all of you. It's like, okay, then I'm good. I can do this.
Yeah.
So that was,
you know, when I had first met you, I kind of thought that you were dismissive. I thought you were like a really cold guy. But as the more I got a chance to get to know you, I'm serious, dead ass.
I got you.
But as I got to know you, man, I was seeing the different ways that you were, you know, were moving. I was seeing how you were being with certain situations to use the gentle touch, to go ahead and stop everything and go ahead and take that listen, because there is something there. To go ahead and help one person in the process, you help the whole room to feel a certain way. You do that masterfully too, sir. I want to give you that as well. But there almost seemed like a change in between the rest that I seen in the very beginning till now. Even though I did, you know, see them things, it was like a progression. Was it when I got on Clubhouse? There was a learning curve. I had to learn the etiquette there, man. I had no idea. You know, I was going into spots that weren't even poetry spots, and I was spitting poetry in the whole nine. I didn't know that I was being intrusive in that way. But there was a certain etiquette. What was the etiquette curve like for you, brother?
Yeah. Well, listen, I remember that time that, you know, you sort of had a specific perception of me. You know, it was less that we spoke about it and more that it was clear to me. Who knows? I mean, maybe I was present. I mean, this is the mysterious thing about relationship, that it's, you know, the fact is that we have an unconscious. So we may be coming across in ways that we don't even know about. The fact is that's true of all parties in a connection. And the fact is that we also project, which is, you know, perceive in the other something that's not happening in the other. And,
oh, yes. I thought you were a black guy.
Yes,
for a long time.
Yes, I'm aware of that. And you were not alone in that. I guess
yeah.
I do have, you know, some Sephardic teachers, those who are listening who don't know about Clubhouse, you know, we have these images that come up on the screen so people can see, you know, a still photo of who one is talking to. And so, you know, I could see where I could.
Rick Weinstein just said he thought you was black too.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, and that's just how it is, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is by way of saying, you know, in terms of those sorts of interactions, I have no idea whether you were projecting or I was cold without being conscious of it. But apropos of learning curve, let's see. I'm better at some aspects of my work now for what I've been doing in Clubhouse. Like, you know, I've for the longest time been facilitating group process in many ways in my work. and kind of the flow and the rhythm of facilitating process on Clubhouse and the practice of that has really helped me improve the work in my field. So that's one.
What was it like when you grew up at Rust?
That's a demographic whole, wise. Okay. So neither one of my parents had graduated high school. They both came from adversity. They were several generations post-immigration from Eastern Europe, basically Russia, and so on. But to look at me, one would think, but probably back there was an emigration from somewhere around the Mediterranean to Eastern Europe. Anyways, they both had various kinds of brutality in their lives. Moved out to a suburb of New York City, along with a whole diaspora of people who were moving out to Long Island, which had the potato farms and cornfields. it was a working class to middle class neighborhood, predominantly Italian, some Jewish. That's my blood, not a practicing Jew. I think of it as I live a deeply spiritual life, but I would not define myself as practicing that within any specific organized religion.
All right, just a moment. One second. I have to do a station thing. If you are listening online, you have about 80 seconds to call in. The Blog Talk lady will shut you off if you have plans on doing that later. Sorry about that, brother. Go ahead.
No worries. There were relatively few Black or African American folks in my community, but some. My mother was from activist roots, really. She was born in the 20s. And in the 40s, exploring socialism and communism was akin to what we're doing now in terms of, being on the left and socially activist. She raised us to be mindful and quite conscious. And there were some other meaningful influences in my life that I was exposed early to the idea of values clarification, which is, basically critical thinking to establish clearly where one stands in terms of one's core values. My father was a huge mess, and he never managed to emerge from that. I was basically single-parented. My mother was the sole provider. My father never provided any funding after he left. My mother worked multiple jobs in order to keep us in the house. And back in the day, in the 60s and 70s, that was possible on, one hardworking wage earner's income, even though right. She was doing, receptionist kind of work. I had the blessing of really close friends and a close relationship with my sister. And my closest friends I met when I was 6 and 10, and I'm still quite close with them. One of them was listening in earlier, actually. The other might be too, for all I know.
right. Well, brother, let me go ahead and go to this poem briefly, and then we'll move on, and we'll bring somebody else in here.
Tristan.
I told Icarus, relax, it's just wax. Cerulean sky dappled in blood, evidence of a revolution. Do you know Dave? Dave was a potter. Black crime is to learn to read and write. Let us take stock of our situation. Cup warmed by grimful intentions, we take turns drinking deeply. I salivate for rainbow essences. Fired in furnaces, it comes out finished, ugly or beautiful. Nothing exists outside of imagination. We take fanciful flight, dream and flight, the flight of imagination. We are cast into the void. Imagination becomes the realm of ghouls. We dream of ammunition. We race headlong into devastation. For each inhalation, more elevation. It's not that we fly too close to the stars. We fail to see we are one. Great piece, man. I really love this piece. I know I got some of those verses out of whack a little bit, brother, but I hope you forgive me.
Oh, no, and it was really interesting to hear kind of the sustaining the flow despite abridging it. You know, nice. Good experience for me. Thank you.
Sweet. I'm going to bring in the next caller. Who'd it be?
This is La Perla Negra. How you doing? Jess J. Hey, Gina Storm. Dr. Livingston. How are y'all tonight?
I am so sorry. I thought you was a bill collector, and that's the way I answer when I think it's a bill collector.
Oh, Jay, you
Who
don't know my
what
number
you
now.
I knew what it was. That's why I said that. How you doing, Danielle?
I'm tired, but I'm good. I had a full, you know, every weekend I get my little spider monkey mountain goat with me. He's headed towards the terrible twos, and he is super busy.
I think you can handle that, though. It's just the trip, the road getting there might be a little rocky, but I think you got that in hand.
Yeah, I'm experienced, but it's been a long time since I had the experience.
And plus, now you're a grandma, so it's a little bit different.
Yeah, it is. It's a different level of love, and just another, you know, I'm being trained all over again. We don't train them, they train us.
All right. So, what have you been thinking of the show so far?
Okay, so first of all, I got in here kind of late because I was out doing some shopping, and I actually totally forgot that it was a show tonight. I was like, I got to get in the house so I can call in, you know, because y'all always support me on my shows and stuff, and I really wanted to hear what was going on tonight. And I think it's from the little bit that I did catch, it's amazing, the poetry. Now, I want to speak to your feature. Dr. Livingston, I am not familiar with you or your work, but because I did a real quick read on, I just Googled you real quick, and I read a tiny bit. I commend you on what you're doing. You know, the mental well-being and health of our community, period, is so important. And a lot of times it is emphasized on in the wrong direction. A lot of, especially the children, they get over-medicated before they're even analyzed, you know, and checked out. Because, you know, sickness is a business, and a lot of big pharma and a lot of the medical community wants to push for medicine instead of actually finding out what's going on. Because a lot of times, most of us, even the children, just need somebody to talk to. So in your field, there is a lot of listening and a lot of conversation that takes place, and it's necessary. So even though I don't know you, it's a fly in here trying to attack me. y'all hear me stumble over my words. I want to say thank you for what you're doing. I really do. It's appreciated and it's necessary.
Listen, thank you for saying so. Do feel at liberty to call me Russ. I totally co-signed. I don't know if you were here earlier when I was talking about how broken the mental health field is, but it includes the kind of monstrous interventions that you were just talking about, kids being over-medicated. It's lack of mindfulness in the treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if there's a skew, it's definitely towards over-medication.
Mm-hmm.
There's also incorrectly medicated, and there's also under-medicated, quite frankly. Now, that's a minority piece of the story, and one is not going to get a lot of purchase by talking about that, but the fact is, there are kids that are winding up in deeper end settings, like locked for months at a time, and I am not exaggerating this, where if there were a mindful approach to the proper treatment, it would include proper psychopharmacology, and we miss on that as well. And again, it tracks back to the agenda that you're talking about, which is, we're in the belly of the beast. The whole mental health field is inside of a neo-fascist system and racist system, very clearly. And then you've got individuals within it who are busy fighting the good fight and countering it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Where my girl Gina at? Unmute yourself.
Hi.
It's all good. We do that from time to time. But thank you for that.
That's hilarious.
Russ, I got it. There you
thank you, La Perla Negros, for knowing that I am a mutant and I will be mutating. I was listening and I was like, I will be on mute until I hear my name. And then I did. I was like, oh, no.
That's all right.
With that
it's
being
okay.
said, Diva, we'd like to offer you the mic.
Well, thank
so
you.
The mic
thank
is yours. You're welcome.
Thank you. All right, so this is called My Eternity. Come give me your sweetness. Now there is no weakness. Lying safe within your arms, I'm born again. I know miracles never run out because my friends have all the love they deserve and been longing for, and I love that for them. So I stay open to the possibility of perhaps someday I'll receive mine. And I won't deny that I'm writing this with partial blurred vision from holding back tears welling up in my heart. But it's just remnants of a loneliness hold. From abandonment, heartbreak, and lies told. See, I used to wonder how someone could love and would continue to love through heartbreak and even afterwards, through the loneliness. But truth be told, I've done it always. But when you come to me, come in peace. Not in pieces trying to give me destruction covered in a thin layer of pacifying love. I don't give samples of myself, and I don't chase hearts anymore. I know myself, and I deserve a love that's a safe place for my soul. And I'm grateful that my heart won't grow hard and cold. Because when true love does show up, the opening for the love I have to give will be all the space needed within me still. For the one who won't snatch his heart from me because we have some imbalance sometimes. For the one who knows everything about me and will still see room for more growth from the life in my eyes. For the one who I don't have to love in the dark because he knows that I'm a keeper of his royalty. His escape from an unruly, disrespectful world and the guardian of a sacred space of trust for his heart, mind, and soul. See, I don't need rescuing. I need a love that stays. I need the secure slumber in my forever night's arms. My always waking, greeted kiss with the sun rising. I need the eyes that look back at me where I see my eternity. And that's at peace.
Hey, thank you very much for that, Danielle. This right here was nice.
Oh,
yeah. And you're romantic, right? And is this the same Danielle who's the romantic?
Absolutely.
I'm just making sure. Black Butterfly was an excellent choice. It complimented your voice, too. It really fit. Black Butterfly.
Yeah.
I know miracles never run out.
That ain't the song.
What song was that then?
That was Billy Preston and what's the name? I forget the woman's name. This is
I always think that song is Black Butterfly for some reason. Even when I hear it on the radio or something, I say, oh, that's Black Butterfly right there.
Denise Williams gonna get you.
I know. I know miracles never run out. Someday I will receive mine. Truth is, I've done it always. I don't give samples of myself. I'm grateful that my heart will not turn hard and cold. I'm waiting for the one. I don't have to love in the dark. His escape from this cruel, heartless world. Greeting kisses with the sun rising. Beautiful. That was some good stuff there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Doctor, what do you think of that, sir?
I was just figuring out who the singer is. It's a Sarita.
Yeah.
Billy Preston and Sarita.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
See,
wrestling
these type of things.
I took a snippet of the lyrics and found my way to it. But I know the tune. That's true. I would not have been able to identify it without the research. This is beautiful. This is a beautiful piece.
Thank you.
I'm moved. My heart's opened up from this. My favorite part is this. Your confidence that your heart won't grow cold. And I am a huge proponent of the idea that the path of love does not necessarily require a person to be presently in relationship. This is a self-inquiry first.
Mm-hmm.
And it remains, most importantly, a self-inquiry. I choose the path of deep romantic love as one of the key ways of coming to clarify the self, of coming to know the self. And so that's what I heard in your practice, that you are practicing loving and you're not waiting for the actual other to show up. And, you know, I think it's straightforward.
that when we get mm-hmm. ourselves right and when we're on that path, you know, that's like a beacon. And mm-hmm. other folks in that mode will recognize it. And that's when they arrive. You know, it's a, if you want love, love yourself. If you want love, practice love. You know, and this piece, I thought, completely manifested that. And also the beautiful details. The the kiss with the sun rising, and the clarification. I don't need rescue.
Thank you.
I just need a little bit of space. Sure.
I stress this to people. I can't stress it enough. You have to fall in love with yourself. Be the greatest love of all to yourself first. And then the rest will just come with ease because love is not hard. When that real love comes for you, you won't have to fight. It won't be a struggle. It just will be because true love is absolute anyway. You know, so I just encourage people constantly, love yourself. Everything that happened for you, everything that's going on with you, just forgive as much as you need. Smile wide and often, breathe deep and easy and stay in the positive and just love yourself. I am always like this. So, yeah, that was pretty good analysis. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Diane, what do you have going on in the Epiphany Universe?
Okay, so you can catch me most Monday nights co-hosting with King Atterbury and King and Queen's Chorus. I don't know what's coming up soon, but y'all gonna find out. And on Wednesday nights, I have a guest panel of divas sitting alongside me while we do Divas Talk. The topic is. Huh?
That show hot, too.
Thank you. I don't know what we're going to be discussing this Wednesday night, but it is every Wednesday night at 9 here on Epiphany. But I'll definitely let y'all know what's going on. So that's Monday nights at 9 and Wednesday nights at 9.
All right. Well, Danielle, we have a few more people to go ahead and go through. We appreciate your patience with this whole process, too, sis. You have been a stable stalwart of information and knowledge, and just the way you go about doing your stuff is impressive,
thank you.
Sis.
Thank
yes,
you.
Ma'am, very
I appreciate
professional.
That. Thanks a lot. I appreciate that.
All right, well, since you take care now.
All right, one love, one mic.
Dina, you still there? All right. We have this gentleman here who has been waiting forever.
I'm here, Jay. Let's go. Come on, Free.
Frequency went to sleep. What's going on with your frequency?
What's going on, man?
Not a whole lot, man. We're just trying to get through this interview with a good doctor in the house, man.
Hey,
what you been thinking of the show so far, man?
Hey, you know I was late in here. Some other things earlier, but, man, I'm loving it. Congratulations again, Russ, Dr. Livingston. Yeah, man.
No, awesome. Russ is good.
You know. Hey.
Well,
I've been enjoying it, bro.
We waited to say anything worth saying until you got here anyway, so don't worry about it.
No, Russ has. I'm all tapped out. Frequency will be also being interviewed here on the show in the coming weeks, so y'all keep an eye out for that as well. Phenomenal guy here, man.
Appreciate you, bro.
How you know Russ, man? Do you know Russ?
Do I know Russ?
Yeah,
I mean, you know, as much as I could know Russ, thus far. Hey man, but look, I was on your page, Russ, on IG. Man, I was blown away. Uh-huh. I was blown away because, I'm a music head. I love some reggae roots.
Oh yeah,
come on, man, you had Judah Tribe.
Yeah, man.
Come on, uh-huh. Man. Yo, I said, you should have seen me. I dropped my phone. I was like, go ahead, yo. I know you ain't doing it like this. I mean, but you had a lot of people on there. I'm seriously jealous right now, you know. But
well, it's got a few functions. It's partly what just Jay and Gina are doing here, which is, you know, amplifying the signal. Like, you know, I want to get musicians out there. It's partly that, and it's partly that, you know, I got friends in places where they can't really get out the music and, you know, sharing that with them. Where are you?
Oh, I'm in Northern Virginia. I'm in the DMV area.
Okay, so you get some great stuff going through there, right?
I do, man. I'm just busy. That's my problem. I'm busy.
I get you.
More, you know, but yay. I guess I can live vicariously through you. As far as the music.
Yeah.
The live show.
I trade on sleep, basically.
And you know, and I hear you all the time. Like, we'd be in the room and you'd be like, you know, I'm about to go into this venue. And I got time to spit this one piece. And then when I went to your page, I was like, oh, I see. Those venues. Nothing but music on there. I love it.
Yeah, true.
Sweet. Hey, man, we're going to go ahead and show people right now why you are being lined up for an interview on here, sir. We're going to get into that rich Liberian history of yours, too, when you come in here, brother. But the mic is yours, sir.
Yes, sir. All right. It's my phone to work. All right. I create worlds. Worlds creatively crafted and birthed from thoughts uttered and spoken into existence by way of words. These words that are carefully chosen to channel positive waves of energy, making time freeze, forcefully standing still in shock, skillfully silencing the sounds of sands that pour. Now, as you listen to the ink of my pen spill sacredly, I get chills from the thrills of due diligence fulfilled. Like gentle strokes of feathers on papyrus, inside preserve phenomenal precious memories. Sentimentally censor me, mentally revealing poetic rhetorics of righteous remedies. Remedies romanticized on frequencies of harmony. I leave temples dancing. Dancing to songs of poetic truths I sing. Enhancing bodies of waters and forms of mind-bending that springs time back to its natural swing of things. My words flow on air currents of peaceful storms like acoustic sound waves of magical music, melodically moving hearts, making finger snaps as avalanche of smiles are born, inducing joy like water assuming the many different shapes and form of man, majestically flowing with wild winds of wondrous woven rhythm that beats to the tempo of rain. You see, I crash dreams. Allowing minds to wake due to the opening of eyes, hoping to see life unbroken. Washing away the falsified facts and myths existing on the edge of elusive, eccentric perspectives. Like sweet summer breeze, I'm felt, but remain untouched. Never to be held by venomous vultures, viciously spreading the virus of lies that shine as bright as prisms in subconscious systemic prisons of isms specifically designed to alter visions and reduce vibrations, so I remain unbroken, standing firm and awake, reaching for wisdom, intelligently escaping the construct of cunning calculated uncertainties formulated and forcibly fed as reality. You see, I choose not to be seduced and mentally abused by bombarding mixed messages of mass manipulation. I refuse to fall for anything. Therefore, I stand for something promising. Innately written within timeless thoughts, stored deep in the vaults of my mentality, patiently waiting for me to think it, conceive it, see it in its actuality, and speak it into existence naturally. They say, as he think it in his heart, so is he. Hence, I forge reality on my own frequency. I create words from thoughts. Thoughts of change and answers to questions and problems that may seem forgotten or lost. See, spoken in broken silence is the guidance of lost wisdom sought. The ability to generate standards of living that molds the cornerstones of principles that are vital as the air I breathe. By manifesting such reality through words, I miraculously bring about galaxies of strategies capable of sustaining life far more advanced than the elementary tragedies of steel, pillage, and conquer and kill mentality. I create skies of minds vast with lights of knowledge from ancient stars of insights with shines that brightens the times of now. I receive stimulants embedded in my subconscious mind of soil like grounds on which I walk and stand. Speaking the language of life with an accent of love, I see through eyes of windows open due to the learning experiences from which I evolve. With the ears of tomorrow's wisdom, I listen. And in the frozen stillness of time, I observe, record, and unlock the wealth of information deposited in the intricate system of my vault. With the key of thoughts, I withdraw the currency of words needed to purchase the raw materials of virtues, virtues on which I stand and build the structure of self, gaining self-confidence, replacing self-doubt. To care for self first, I've learned to dig for self-worth. When speaking to oneself, I've become selective with my choice of words. Because just like the building of oneself with words, I create worlds. Boom.
Bro, this is some world building at its finest, man. I did not take notes for this. I had to sit back and absorb this. The way you have a series of runs inside of your poems, and then when you get to an area where you're just like taking a little breather, it's almost like it's not normal. But you run a series of runs that may be chopped so finely and so intricately, and everything is the same shape. It almost sounds like some of your hip-hop has honed your poetry into something totally different, man. This is nice. I stopped taking notes when you said, I leave temples dancing. I leave, man, mm-hmm. What? At first, I'm thinking about temples. I'm thinking about I was thinking about tempos, like music and sound and the rest of that. And then I started thinking about temples as far as places of worship. Then I started thinking about people as temples. Mm. So I stopped right there and I said, I'm not about to do this with this guy. He's not about to do me like this. Forging reality, forging them from thoughts, bringing about galaxies, man. Digging self first. Can you recite that verse back to us, the lead up and the actual punchline of that?
Which one?
Digging self first or something to that effect. It should be towards the end or at least the three quarter to the end portion.
Yeah. With the key of thoughts, I withdraw the currency of words needed to purchase the raw materials of virtues on which I stand and build the structure of self. gaining self-confidence, replacing self-doubt, to care for self first. I've learned to dig deep for self-worth. When speaking to oneself, I've become selective with my choice of words, because just like the building of oneself with words, I create worlds.
All right, I'm about to go ahead and pass this one. Rush, you want to take a stab at this one, sir?
Do I ever?
Yeah, man.
It happens, Jared, that I stopped taking notes just about exactly where you did. The I Leave Temple Dancing.
Don't get me started, bro.
I drew the same conclusion. Let me just say, the listening yields to practice, right? And you got to know when to throw the pen down and just sit back and get the gestalt in peace. Because otherwise, if you wait too long, it's too late and you lose the peace. And so, it was sort of exciting to hear that you, Jared, hit the same conclusion at about the same time. First of all, Frequency, you're genuinely one of my favorite poets. It's not just your poetry, it's your conversation about the work, about your work and about other people's work, and your contributions over in Wounded Healer Poets Brigade are always on point and interesting and cogent and feelingful, and you do not shy away from, open self-exploration, even when it's, the edgy parts. So I definitely feel sort of kinship in community with you.
I appreciate
this piece,
you, Russ.
Oh, well, I'm speaking the truth. This piece, I got a central image of you sitting Buddha style, where you have conjured a shield all the way around you, sort of luminous, translucent of words. And, nothing can penetrate that. It's your busy manifesting. And I think that's, I think you could draw out a narrative where that's literally true, right, about what you're doing in your way of being in the world. As is so often the case, the poetry is this magical shorthand for, what would otherwise be a whole treatise. How do I get by in the world, right?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that that image that you got from the piece is pretty amazing, because, I've never thought of that, but that's essentially what the piece is about, creating a world. If you can create your own standard of your own idea of what life should be, your own standards, right? No one can break that. And that's the idea of creating a world of your own. And so that's pretty amazing, man.
So Gina's brother Gina's brother was in earlier, and he had a piece that also addressed how one can completely alter one's life by seizing control of the narrative, by making choices about it. And what he was talking specifically about, he doesn't experience white supremacy because he doesn't validate it. He challenges who is in control of the narrative as his way of, and he forms his own narrative. So it had some kinship to this concept. And in your piece, You did one of my favorite things, which is referencing the personal is political. So, you know, initially the piece was about your process in the world, and then you brought it to, and listen to what this shields me from. And you referenced sort of the oppressive neo-fascist, basically, surround that this shields you from. Mm-hmm. Lastly, I love the concept of, where did it go? Oh, the I Leave Temples Dancing. That's incredibly playful. It's, you know, it's are you leaving a temple while you're dancing? Is it that the temples dance because you caused them to dance? And that goes to what Jess Jay was saying about imagining temples as people. It's a really evocative piece. Great stuff.
Appreciate you, man. I'm glad it was well received. Yeah. Thank you. And to to mention what you said about Jesus' brother piece, it's, I wish I did hear it, because the idea of creating your own reality is to battle whatever someone else is trying to place you in. You know, people try to place you in their thoughts and their idea of where your reality should be, right? And we have a choice whether we can accept and play by those rules or create our own. You know, there's been so many oppression in history, right? And we can start right here with the states. If slaves just accepted that as their reality, we'd still be in chains. You know what I mean? So you have to question your reality. You have to question it, and then by doing so, you can actually forge your own. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I sure do wish I heard this piece. Hopefully one day. But
well, it's recorded.
Hey, I'm gonna have to listen.
There you go.
I'm gonna go back and check the whole show out. So I appreciate it.
Sweet. Hey, Russ. We
yes, sir.
How's the show been going for you, brother?
Oh, you know, I feel like we're hanging out in the living room. You know, call it small house living room or literal living room. I feel good.
Point up.
I feel like I'm amongst friends.
Oh yeah, man, definitely. I tell you what, brother, we're gonna go into a speed round. We're gonna see who's available for a speed round, and you will be going at the end.
Oh, nice. Okay.
I'll start opening up some of these mics, and this will conclude our day. Frequency, I know you're still in there. Hey,
yeah.
For real, sir. Are you up for another piece, man?
I guess so.
All right, cool. What I'm going to go ahead and do is shut down everybody's mic, and as your mic opens, then you will be going next. I'm going to go ahead and just start it from the bottom on up to the top, except for Dr. Livingston. He'll be going last. Hey, Gina, how you doing? You still hanging out with us, sis?
Gina. All right. We'll go ahead and skip over Gina.
Jared, one moment for clarification. Can I just
check
with you? I think you've got me in control of my mic locally, so you'll need to signal to me when it's my turn.
Yes, sir. I'm going to go ahead and shut it down, and then when you hear the woman say that your mic is open, then you will go ahead and just immediately start spitting.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yes, sir. Frequency, are you up for another piece, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right, for real. Brother, you up for another piece, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right. I just had to make sure I ran the numbers again so much stuff hadn't happened. I'm putting you guys off into the bag. As you hear your mic open, it'll be time for you to go ahead and go. Zena, if you can hear me, you'll be before me.
For all the years I wanted, all the years of wanting yet stumbling and ending up with nothing, for all the years in search of that special something, that unknown someone, that precious, that priceless treasure, that heartfelt prayer that was finally answered, I found her in my dreams. And for all the years I've wanted, for all the years wanting, longing, starving, holding it all in, also all this hunger, I kissed her with uncontrollable passion. She received all of me and but a kiss, not by just anyone, but by those lips, that special one. I kissed her lips. I held her and I kissed her, sucking succulently in succession her lips, alternating between her lips and heaven, kissing heaven and her lips, and loving every minute of it, making love our spirits on full lit, kissing, breath heaving, heart beating, bathing in the silence of two souls colliding. She kissed me and I kissed her and I kissed her and I kissed her and I kissed her for all the years I wandered wanting, for all the years that I hungered, for all the years that I went by starving for her. I kissed her, her lips with mine, with the kiss of a lifetime. Wantings, a lifetime of wantings for all the years I've wanted longingly, wanting, crushing on her for all those years. Now I'm kissing her, her lips, and wanting more of her, wanting for all the years I wanted to kiss her. What are lips but the doorways to bliss? Each passionate slow motion inhales inside of each other from a non-sexual orifice. Two attached to one long heart, one heart, one pulsating beat, blood pressure flowing through both, water falling from head to feet, cascading spiritually, radiating in unison as we ravishly partake in this anointing. Mindfully aware of each sensation, never being in this part of the universe before, lost within this galaxy of never before, need of no more, free from gravity, we levitate above the floor, guided by a single candle's light and the night sky as our roadmap. Love is procured. Her and I become we as we kiss life together. We kiss life together as we kiss life together, breathing for one another, as if kissing were a buffet and we were both starving for it. We kiss life together as we kiss life together, for all the years I wandered, wanting her, for all the years I wanted. We kiss life together in peace.
So, what's so special about a leap as opposed to a jump? Because I believe they're different. See, to me, a jump usually begins and ends in the same place, exactly where you stand, you know, up and down. But to take a leap is to go beyond. not just above, but ahead, to reach, to step out on a ledge, to break the boundaries and limits of your own comfort zone. To leap is to transcend the place you stand. So leap with me for a moment. See, I believe love is that which decorates the soul with flowers of compassion. An affection that extends beyond infatuation, dreams, or imagination. A conundrum of emotions with purpose and passion, love is an action, an idea seldom seen and rarely felt, but often spoken. It is vision vast with insights of life like a glimpse into wisdom, sacred and precious, fragile as a whisper, bold, strong, but tender. Love is an anchor. It keeps us grounded, a lighthouse warm and bright enough to guide us. It's that thing that keeps us submerged and surrounded in seas of poetic sentiments, like a peak and heaven's evidence with deep reverence of romantic elements and elegance. Love is delicate, and yet still it manages to infiltrate, pierce, and penetrate hearts like righteous soldiers in marching conquest, to not just conquer but bring about life's long-lasting yearn, urge, and dying request. So no, it is not fearless, but courageous, cautious, yet careless, reckless, contagious, intelligent, and senseless. Love is timeless. It is unpredictable, vulnerable, capable of being unbreakable, so much so that it exists in the hearts of those who does dare demand a defying dance at chance and leap. Only to fall, knowing you'll fall, willingly fall, risking it all to once again find ourselves, we fall. In synchronized vibrations of two individuals, you and I, he and she, we fall to create a world of our own. We fall, realizing that redefining life is as refreshing as drops of rain accompanied by dew on rose petals, the colors of heaven's hues. We fall to listen to the voice of love. We fall to hear it speak that universal language that is ancient as waters held in reservoirs of hope, longing to fall from eyes like tears of joy that gently jolts the soul with sentimental melodies and memories of what is naturally meant to be, love. Significantly incredible, sensationally pure and beautiful. So when you do hear his voice echoes the halls of your temple like songs of romantic antidotes and blessings, when you do find and see its reflection, when you finally feel its familiar presence, as comfortably enticing as it is to stand in awe and bask in its essence, the key is to fall. Fall in love. Grab hold and never let go. But in order for that to happen, you have got to be willing to leap. Calm.
Before I decided to audience with you, I set my house in order to tell you all my heart. I have traveled many continents seeking a beauty such as yours. I am but a humble man of meager status, with only honor and integrity as my current currency. It was a year ago almost to the day when I heard you say, words that weave like a basket of choice roses as your moist voice spoke like a lioness on the plains of Giza, resounding in the still of the night. Under a full moon's light, I heard your call and I paused, and like a stained pane glass, I instinctually fractured from your light. Your voice like an apparition now echoing roams the deepest chambers of my heart. And on that very night, you took
my life, that I yield to you tonight. With no regrets of your conquest, I am here bare-chested, my own behest, soaked in love's sweat, like fresh drops of dew does when the dew glistens in the dawnedly light. But I'd be too forward if I were to read you a poem. Yes, I write. For the conditions for love are just so. And that's not a mere first sight, although you are in eye's delight. It has cut grooves into my heart, sparking my pen to scratch, till the page started to ignite, as if love were a bizarre old battlefield of healing skills that mend gashes and gouges and set broken bones under the flesh. Your scars are an outward expression and a testament of your strength. As I place this little bitty crown upon your finger, if tonight my station shall have me thrown to the lions and they shall feast, then let them do what they do best, and I shall fight them back with every poem and beat from within my chest.
A hot night, this 4th of July, these steam bath Central Square streets, dancers' last gasps at the edge of the broken world, a passionate plea that we could have something real, a life less fettered. We dance as Big Brother's playthings, while the secret choreography of liberation rises in chests. DJs hold sway, EDM at Zuzu, an Afrobeat next door at the Middle East front room. There's no cover for any of us. And lockstep conformity advances like karmic kudzu. We are the invasive species, wrapping tendrils around whole tribes. We choked and slayed the great law of the Iroquois. We are unable to consider the well-being of even our current generation, let alone 7. An invasion where we made it a crime for Plains tribes to practice the sun dance, sacred source of power and light. Lady Liberty writhes in pain. No sooner had she borne witness to this genocide, land now cleared and claimed, than did we enslave 12.5 million Africans. And we built the new world on their backs. EDM and Afrobeat, we cannot dance ourselves free from the avulsion of roots. I am on a passion path rooted in adversity, an epigenetic plea. It's all I can do to stay awake in soporific society, a matrix of Wizard of Oz snowflakes. This weather was once unusual, but now it's de rigueur. Maybe, all we can tolerate is a dream of wakefulness. America is a 4th of July Potemkin village, performative, zombie freedom rings, a tropic of independence, 6 minutes to midnight, and Miss Liberty is slurring words, drunken utterance. She drowns herself in a failed attempt to drown history. We cannot escape what we've done. There is no daylight between megalomania and emptiness. Our flag should forever be at half-mast for all the grief we've caused. A divine cloth co-opted to represent neo-fascism, bathed red in spilled blood, gilded in white supremacy, and the blue of bruises. I cannot abide by this. I am one of a tide, a rising tide of roots citizenry. This is our flag, ours. May we remake America, hearts beating in red compassion, white hot intention, the blues we need so as to grieve and accept, so we can finally begin the noble work of reparations, and only then can freedom ring true. passion sings truth and peace.
That was a beautiful speed round. About to open up everybody's mic right now.
Whew.
That was heavy. That was a hell of a way to cap that off too, Russ.
Thank you. Man,
we haven't been about 2 minutes. Go ahead, brother.
You and Gina pulled some great poets.
Man, you were one of them. you were the ringleader.
I'm just trying to keep up with the rest of y'all.
Man, it's been a good exchange, man. It's been a good exchange. How does everybody feel about tonight? We have about 1 minute.
Man, I loved every minute, man. This is for real. I loved every minute of tonight, man. Once again, Doctor, man, thank you for being a part of this, man. I loved it, man. I loved it.
This was excellent. You all, thank you so much.
Excellent. Glad to have made it. Great job, Russ.
Great song for you tonight, brother.
Thanks, Jared. Thanks, Gina. You're doing great stuff here.
Yeah, y'all forgive us. My partner, she's helping out. She's doing a lot of things. So let's give up a hand for Gina. For trying to be everywhere at once. We appreciate you, Gina. If you can listen to and hear this, we appreciate you, lady.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. The Blog Talk lady is about to get real ignorant with us now. She hasn't. There it is. She just shut down everything. We still going though. That's a far cry from 2 weeks ago. The whole show fell apart. But we got back together.
We still here, bro.
We still here. The board's in. Oh, the board's haven't officially shut down. I think the boards are dead, aren't they, for real?
Did I
get this episode has ended. Hey, man, we're gonna be doing some business together, right? I forgot to ask you, why do you do lowercase lettering on your name on Clubhouse? that was bothering me too. I need to know that.
I think it was simply artifact. And I just never saw the need to change it. You know. That's pretty much
I'm
up
here thinking that you're trying to make some life-affirming change.
I am.
There
right
are no
there.
Capital R's or L's.
That's funny.
Hey, before we get up out of here, where can we find you at, Russ, Dr. Russ?
Oh, well, mostly, you know, relevant to poetry, it's really on Clubhouse.
Okay.
And so I've got a Wednesday night room, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, called The Workshop. And there we're at play doing various exercises designed to promote intentional listening and also pushing us out of our customary way of writing. And then I mentioned earlier Wounded Healer Poets Brigade, which is 10 a.m. every Saturday, Eastern Standard Time. Now, my email is in my profile, so you know, feel at liberty to reach out to me for any reason. And then my Insta is linked as well, and you'll see Frequency Creep in the pages of my Insta.
Yeah. Shout out to Frequency as well. How you doing, Frequency, man?
Oh, I'm good, brother. I'm good. Appreciate you. And you know you got a style that's completely different, man. Whenever I hear you, even tonight, when I came in and you were spitting, I was like, yo, that's for real. there's something about that cadence it's different. It's different. I love it.
Hey.
But I'm good, brother.
Thank you, man. I dig what you do as well, man. We got to do more things together. You guys don't be strangers, man. And if you got something going on over there in Clubhouse, make sure you send your boy for real an invite, man. I like what you guys are doing.
Yes, sir.
I really do. I love doing those exercises that take us beyond ourselves too. By the way, Dr. Russ.
Okay, good. Come on through. Yeah, we've had some fun with that. I mean, we did a couple of examples. We did the like triadic pieces. So it's not uncommon for two poets to collaborate on pieces, but we just thought, you know, what happens if you move it to another geometric configuration? And that was highly entertaining. Another that we did is it was entitled "I'd Rather Not Say," and the premise was write the piece you've been avoiding. And then the most complicated one was called the poetic interview, and the idea was to have a conversation with somebody where they're not a poet or they're not writing, and pause the conversation, write 6 or 8 lines pertaining to the conversation, re-enter the conversation, share the lines with the person that you're in conversation with, and get their kind of response or get the conversational flow going again. Do that, you know, pause again, write 6, 8 more lines. Do that like 4 or 5 times, and you've got this piece that is sort of crafted by the process of the conversation. Pretty fun.
I got you. That's a good one. I like that. I've just recently wrote a conversational piece, just saying, to actually write. Now, when you say write a few lines, 6 to 8 lines, you're talking about giving the listener some feedback to what you wrote about type thing? And then get back to the piece?
Exactly. You re-enter the piece. So for me, this came up organically. Like I was in conversation with some people. I wrote a few lines pertaining to the conversation, gave the person the line. He's a musician, and he was talking about maybe he'll do something musically with it. And he reacted to that. Like, and some of it was like, yes, exactly, that captures the gist of what I'm trying to say, or no, not that. And that then challenged, especially the no, not that, challenged me to figure out how am I going to go in another direction in this piece while maintaining the integrity of the piece. Because one of the guidelines was I wasn't going to backtrack and erase what I wrote. You know, so, it's sort of little, like a little math problem, basically.
Right. I like that. I think the hardest one for me would be to piece that I don't want to write, because I really, right now, I couldn't figure out what piece I would not want to write.
It's funny you should say that. There were at least two poets who said that was their initial take, and then each one of them had discovered something. One wrote her own epitaph.
Ooh, that would probably be it.
That was Lady Red, the Clarity Coach, who is a considerable poet and also facilitator and moderator.
Okay. You got me thinking now. I really, that would be one. There's another one and you know, you brought it out of me. I'm gonna share it with you. I lost my son a couple of years ago. He was murdered. You know, and every time I try to write something concerning him, I can't, because it feels like I'm gonna open a Pandora's box of emotions, and I just feel like it's gonna take me someplace. So that is, something that I problem writing about, and I've made several attempts, but it's like unfinished. I have an issue with that.
Well, a few thoughts. First of all, I'm sorry to hear about this loss. That
thank you.
That's a bomb going off in the middle of a life. There was at least one poet who said that they never want to do that exercise again, for just that reason, that it did open up for him some complexity. So I think, you know, that you're wise to seek your own counsel on that. I mean, he said he also was saying he was glad he did it. So who knows? But so that's one thought. The other thought is, write about not writing the piece.
Oh.
You know, that's another kind of way to approach that kind of thing from my point of view.
Okay. I can see that. I can see that. Mm. Let me ask you a question, because you got me going somewhere right now.
Yes.
How much of your profession do you put into this? I mean, because I almost wanted to ask you a question from the psychotherapy side of it, you know, concerning me having a problem writing that. I think you gave me a way to get around it.
Okay, cool.
Can you feel where I'm going with this? You know, you really got me
definitely.
In thought. You really got me in thought, and I appreciate what you said. I'm gonna try to go about it that way. But do you in analyzing poetry, do you go about it, or do you put your profession in there, or can you help it? Because that's a part of you.
Yeah, that's the thing. The you know, one of my teachers basically said, you know, talked about the you know, a fruitful path being the self as self and the self as therapist become ever more kind of seamlessly one entity. And so, you know, there's a way to keep very clear professional boundaries at the same time as manifesting those same energies in, you know, in all parts of one's life. So, you know, I mean, there's things I don't do. I don't get busy. You know, like a popular thing that people say when they hear that I'm a psychiatrist or therapist is, oh, are you analyzing me right now? And, you know, strictly speaking, I'm not bringing that mindset ever into play. You know, other parts of my life. I'm not busy, you know, using those frames, what's going on diagnostically, blah, blah, yak. But, you know, the core thing I do is actively listen in the service of trying to make meaning and offering something back about that. And so, yeah, man, that's got a lot of kinship to listening to a poem and making meaning and giving feedback.
Right. Because I don't know if you know this, but your response to people's readings, just like we say that poetry and the writing of it and the sharing of it is therapeutic, your response is therapeutic as well.
Hmm. Well, I mean, this is where Jared and I kind of first connected, that we were both on this path of the value of intentional listening and meaningfully giving feedback. And, you know, you can see the bloom that has happened with Epiphany and Small House and, you know, in my little indie way, I'm chugging along over at My House Empathy Save the Species and, you know, have a similar vibe.
Yeah, I feel that. Yeah, that's beautiful, man. So, and that's what I get from listening to you. Just listening to you, your responses to different people's poetry, and even to my poetry, like I said, you want to know that what you wrote came across to the listener, that they can relate to it and somehow understand where you were going.